Oh, it is good to be with you all. It's nice to worship with you. So, if you have been here or haven't, we've been going through a series about words and how the first week we talked about how we need to be holy in our speech and how we need to make sure that we're not burning things around us, burning relationships and potential relationships and lives that we can speak into with really words that don't matter or that the enemy wants to use for God, like in ways like gossip and trash talking and a bunch of other stuff. And then last week we talked about the power that those words can have and how they can leave lasting imprints and impacts on people, either for God's glory or for the enemy. And the enemy sometimes gets in our hearts and he lets words affect us. But we need to be people that are encouraging and people that speak life. And this week, this is a little bit of play on words. I know that's super lame, but it's the best way to talk about it. We're going to talk about the word, Jesus. And we're just going to dive right into it in John 1, 1 to 18. But before I read through it, this passage specifically is written in something called a chiastic structure, and if you guys read it through in your Bibles again, it's really cool to like look at the way that they line up. So the first paragraph or the first little section and the last section go together, and they could be called A1 and A2, and then the second paragraph and the second last, and the third last, and then the middle one doesn't have one that goes together. It's verse 12 and 13, and it's kind of what we're talking about today. And it's kind of the core of the chiastic structure. That's what it's all about. And it's really what John's gospel is all about. So let's just dive into it in verse 1. It says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him." Verse 12 and 13 here. "But to all who did receive him, who all believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known.'" The word of the Lord. Now, the Word, he was in the beginning. Right from the very start of creation, the Word of God was there. And the Word of God was Jesus. And he spoke all being into creation. He spoke the earth into the creation. God did. And Jesus was there. And I kept thinking on this, and you can't help but go and read part of Genesis when we're talking like this. At least that's what I assumed. So we're going to read a little portion in Genesis. And it's from Genesis 1, starting, we'll pick up at verse 24, and it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds and livestock according to their kinds and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth and every tree with seed in it, its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." So God made us in his image. And in John, in verse 12, in verse 13, it says, but that we wouldn't be born of blood or of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. Being born of God, being made in his image, and having this realization of being made in that image. Jesus came so that we might identify that. The word was spoken, and we were made in his image. And what does that image look like? Now, over the past couple weeks, we've been talking about plants and growing as a little bit of every message. So I felt like we should tie the series together and do the same. And when God made creation and when he made man, he made them in his image, and he said that they should be fruitful and that they should multiply and that they should cultivate the land with all these seeds that they have. And so essentially, we're made to be gardeners or farmers. And you're like, I am not going to be a farmer. I'm not a farmer either. But we are called to be kingdom cultivators, to be people that are building up the kingdom because we're made in that image. We're called to be fruitful and to multiply. Once you're married, you're called to populate the earth with more people that are made in the image of God. And what God is doing in this is saying that you're called to be a person that grows and that seeks growth around you. We're made in the image of God. I was thinking about this thing, and I was like, it's kind of a weird thing to think of. Like, made in his image, do we look like him? Well, I guess Jesus came to earth, and if Jesus was always in the plan, then I guess we kind of do, right? But also, I was thinking about it, like, what is it like? And a little thought that I had was that, like, do you guys know when you crush something that you were like working on, like whether it's you're writing a song, maybe like you sing along on the radio and you can't nail down a rap and you just got it one time and you're like, yes. Now that's maybe a little bit low end, but like still feels good. Or maybe it's something that you made with your hands, or maybe it's something that you wrote. Maybe you wrote a really good paper. And I know like, it's like, oh, schoolwork's so boring. But like sometimes I've probably had two or three papers in my fairly lengthy academic career, unfortunately, at this point, is where I've had a couple papers where I really felt like I represented myself in the paper. I get to put my personality into it a little bit. I always have little side comments, surprise. And I got to like really hammer in the research, and I felt like it all came together, and I actually proofread it before submitting it, and it like feels good, right? And there's something about that paper or whatever else that you made that kind of represents yourself. And that's just like, this is just like a fraction, like a little view of what being made in God's image looks like. And I've heard people talk and say, oh, I'm just a human. Ah, it's just, you don't want it. You're not just a human. You're a human. That's why I stopped saying, oh, I'll just have water. Water is awesome. It's the thing that like is we're composed of. It's the best thing to drink, probably. You're not just a human. You're a human made in the image of God. You're made in his image and his likeness. And he wants us to be people that allow him to take ownership of our lives. He wants us to own his ownership. He wants us to be people that are claiming his name in our lives so that Satan wouldn't have any power. Paul says this actually in Romans 8. He says, but you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. If you have the Spirit of God living in you, and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you've been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. We're called to be owners of that image so that we would identify as being born of God. And I think there's something different between just like having something and actually owning it. Kiana and I have a dog. His name's Kate. You guys can put the first dog slide up. His name's Cade. There he is. He's the black one. He's awesome. He likes to party. He'll run like 16 miles when we go for a 4-mile walk. And I just love him. There's another picture. Okay, no. Save the other pictures. I save him. Hold on. screwing things up here. Okay, I should have made a little note. It's my fault. Sorry, team. I love you all. The tech team's awesome. If you guys want to be on it, they would love to have you. So we have this dog, and he's mine. I got him from my marriage, but it's not a stepdog. He's my dog, because that's not how dogs work. But every time that we're out of the house for more than a couple hours, he gets really sad, especially like the next day. If we go to Sioux Falls for like 6 or 7 hours on a Saturday, he is just like mopey and like, because he's like, I need my people. He's like, I'm a pack animal. I'm not supposed to be alone. And he's like extra, doesn't like to be alone. So we were passively looking for another dog to be his friend because he's going to be alone a lot at some point. And not a lot. We don't neglect him. I can go home at lunch. We live like a quarter mile away. Don't feel like, but he's going to be alone sometimes. And so we were like, oh, we got to get him a friend. And we'd been looking and emailed a couple and they didn't work out. And then I found the perfect setup. But it came as a two-pack. And so we got these two dogs, these two. And at first, I was so jazzed to get them. But then at first, things just weren't working out. They didn't feel like... I didn't seem like Cade liked them. They were a hassle. They were supposed to be potty trained. They were peeing in the house. And I was like, ah. And Kiana was like, ah. And so we were like, I don't know what's going on. You can show the other two pictures. I think there's a couple more pictures. These are new dogs, Ace and Aspen, that are friends with Cade. It seemed like they started to click with Cade, but we still weren't sure if we wanted three dogs, because it's three dogs is three dogs. It started to click, though, with Cade. And then 3 days ago, we just had like a great day with them. We got to run around with them and Cade, and it just all like went well. And we were like, I think these are our dogs now. I think they're like we're actually, because we, at first we were like, ah, maybe we could take them back. Oh, we can't take them back. Maybe we can give them to someone we love that would really love them, and because we love them, but like, ah, we're not sure. But there was something that happened in me, and I'm pretty sure it happened in Kiana, that like taking ownership of the dogs changed something in us, in our feelings for them. Because I had been like mentally reserving myself a little bit. I'd been putting aside like a little space for like, we're kind of their foster parents because I'm not sure I want to embrace this. And a lot of times, and we're going to keep them. They're going to be our dogs. We love them. They're awesome. They're a party. So if you want to pet a bunch of dogs, you can come to our house because they love pets. But there's something about moving from that like, I'm not quite sure, to actually owning the dogs that made a difference. And in the same way, I think there's a lot of times that we're like, we act like, oh, kind of confident about our relationship with Jesus, but we don't actually fully embrace and take ownership that we are created in His image. The Word was in the beginning and He made all creation, and it's the Word that spoke life into humanity and said, I'm going to make you in my image, and it's very good. And the enemy came and the fall happened. And that relationship was marred. It was tainted. There was a relational divide with us and God. But Jesus came so that we might be grafted into His plan, into God's plan, so that we might receive Him and be born of God. And in doing so, in making that decision, we need to do it confidently. We need to not pretend like I'm not sure about Jesus. We need to take ownership of being made in that image. Because the more that we start to own being made in that image in our own lives, and the more that we start to own the idea that everyone around us is also made in that image, we're going to start breathing life and love into everyone around us. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to be gardeners, to be kingdom cultivators. And the enemy wants to use us. But we need to own that image that He has made us in so that He might take full ownership of our lives and take us down the path that He wants us to go on. And I'm not saying it's not going to be hard. I'm not saying that those dogs aren't going to pee in the house again. I'm not saying that there's not going to be trials and tribulations from following Jesus, from doing your utmost to know that you're made in His image and to be identifying that everyone else around you is made in that image. Because when someone says something really mean to you, the last thing that we want to do is say to ourselves, this is someone who Jesus loves. He's made in the image of God. And while he might not know Him right now, I know that he has the potential, or she has the potential, to be born of God. And if I say something back in spite or in rage, I'm not doing anything to cultivate that relationship. But in fact, I'm probably distancing them even further. So this series on words, being made in the image of the Word, is today's. But once we start knowing that we're made in that image, all of the other things start to fall in place, fall in line. When we start to practice holy speech and saying things, and when we start to understand that if we communicate with God and we pray things in Jesus' name, that things actually happen, that our words have power, and that we can breathe life to people around us. But we need to own it for ourselves. We need to take it in. It's not just something that we can do I just practice this thing and being nice. It's like, no, we need to own in our hearts that that's who we are at the core of our being. is the Word that lives in us, is Jesus that lives in us. And we read this the first week, and I'm going to read a portion of James 3, verse 7 to 10 only. It says, people can tame all kinds of animals. This is kind of similar to Genesis. Birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Let us be people that bless others around us. My challenge to you guys this coming week and to be thinking on over this semester is to remember that you're made in God's image, but also to remember that everyone around you is. Be really mindful that everyone around you is made in God's image. And while they might not have received him, he made them and loves them. And you just might be the person that helps bring them a step or two steps or maybe all the way into the knowledge of Jesus. Be careful with your words, but also be bold and courageous with them. Go out and love and speak, knowing that the Holy Spirit is going to use you and going to speak through you. And today we're going to do communion. We're gonna take part in the Lord's Supper, and before I explain it, I'm gonna do the air traffic control. If you're in the middle rows, come down the middle row and then go out the sides. And if you're in these far rows, go that way and then go out the side. So these are exit lanes, and the far sides and the middle are entry lanes. Okay. If you are upstairs in the balcony, there's some behind the sound booth. And if anyone's gluten-free, there's some right here. So communion, we don't, at Grace Point, we don't have like a, you don't have to be a member. You don't have to have had some special service or anything to take communion. All we ask is that you know Jesus and that you have him in your heart. And that you understand that it's this moment where we get to invite the real presence of Christ into our midst. Well, it might be an outward practice. It has an inward impact. We're partaking in Jesus's victory on the cross and his resurrection from the grave. We get to be a part of that celebration. And when you take it today, remember closely that by partaking in that, you were born of God and that you were made in the image of God. And if there's anything that you need to lay before Jesus, that you need to get off your chest, or that the enemy's been working on in you, now is a great time. So today, we're going to take part in communion. And so this is the body of Christ. And Jesus said that it is broken for us. So when you take it, know that his body was broken for you. And then he said, this is my blood. And it's poured out and shed for each and every one of us so that we might live life eternally and live life to the full, in the fullness of God here and now, even though we might remain broken in him, we are made whole and white as snow. So today, as you come and take communion, we're just going to take it as you get it. Know that you are made in his image. And by partaking in this, we're celebrating the fact that we know him and that we get to go out into the community, into SDSU, and wherever else you might go shining his light, sharing his love, and speaking his words so that he might be known. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you so much for sending your son. God, the greatest act of love ever known. And God, I pray that today as we partake in communion, that your presence be here and be with us. God, thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for your blood that was shed so that we might live life in the knowledge of you. God, help us to identify with you. Help us to step with you. Help us to relate with you. And God, we pray that with every day that passes, we would more and more understand being made in your image. God, we love you so much. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.